Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you are who you say you are. And your word proves who you say you are. And we're just going to open in your word today and just receive of you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we've been talking. Let's go to Revelation. The book of Revelation, you know, we've been talking about, you know, the menorah there and Christ in the midst of it there. But, you know, this Sunday, I want to, you know, Jesus says, I am the leaf, I'm the top.
Yeah.
You know, as we said, 22 alphabets in Hebrew, right?
Yeah.
So he said, I'm number one, I'm number 22. And we learned from a chart that was having numeric value.
Yeah.
But let's read here, starting in verse 5, let's 1 and 5. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests. Who's done it for us? Did we do it for ourselves?
No.
And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Mm-hmm. Behold, he comes with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. Mm-hmm. I am the Alpha and the Omega, or the leaf and the top, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. But I noticed in the book of Revelation, Christ, or the Lord, says this three times.
Okay.
You know, three times is... you know, but the Bible tells us to pay attention to things in three. But today we're talking about 1 and 22. So, and we're just talking about God dividing up the scriptures and the Bibles. And but let's look at Genesis. Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible. And let's go to the 22nd chapter, 1 and 22. And I believe this will give us a pretty good idea who this leaf and this top is. And this is the covenant God was making with Abraham. And it says, 22:1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and test him and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, I'm here. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you. You know, and that Miss Deborah gives us, you know, that version of it.
Yeah.
And in the Hebrew, it says, God, when he told Abraham this, he said, please. You know, I want you to remember, he said, please do this. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, we're going to ask Abraham, please. Okay, so Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two young men with him and Isaac his son, and the clay of wood for the burnt offering. And he rose up and went into the place which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand with a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went together. Okay. If you don't mind writing in your Bible, underline himself. Himself as a lamb. Himself as a lamb. And for a burnt offering, you know, there's all kinds of offerings in the Bible, but I did a little study on what a burnt offering was. And a burnt offering is for man to be able to draw near to God. That's what a burnt offering is all about. It's the bottom line, so man can draw near to God. Mm-hmm. Okay? God will provide himself a lamb. Mm-hmm. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built the altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife, slay the son, and an angel of the Lord called out, "Abraham, Abraham," he said, "Here I am." He said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. See thou that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as is said this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. You know, so many times we hear, you know, teaching on Jehovah Jireh, what this means, the Lord is my provider. Mm-hmm. And here we see the provision made. Mm-hmm. God provided himself.
Amen.
God provided himself.
Oh,
you know, a lot of times we hear Jehovah Jireh, and we'll, you know, praise the Lord, Jehovah Jireh. How about this? Is Jehovah Jireh is a whole lot deeper than this.
Oh,
right,
yes,
here.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
It's all about the cross.
Mm.
The provision made of God making to where man could draw near to him.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's good.
That's the provision that God made. Okay.
Mm.
And if you read on, in this 22nd chapter, I believe this is one of the deepest chapters in the scriptures. I mean, if you study it, it's covenant there.
Mm-hmm.
God begins to bless Abraham,
yeah,
you know, and he's made covenant. But anyway, you know, I've told you to underline himself as a lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So many times in the scriptures, I think we just blow over it.
That's
know,
true. That's true.
Himself.
Yes.
The word himself, you know. And the New Testament talks about the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and says when he comes again, himself will come. And just at the end of the book of Revelation, where it says God himself will be their God,
mm-hmm,
and just many, many scriptures of God saying himself, he's making it personal.
Yeah.
He makes himself real personal with mankind,
man,
and doing this. And I think we kind of miss the himself.
Yeah.
And
we do.
And when we see himself, I mean, it opened our eyes. But anyway, we're going to do communion this morning. And how many of y'all have ever, during the communion service, let's go there first. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. You may not totally agree with me on this, but that's all right. That's all right. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's start at verse 23. It says, "For I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And this is what he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me. So he's telling us when we take communion, everything is about remembrance of him. Okay? Yeah. We're going to remember him. Flip the page, go to the next verse. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Okay. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat that bread and drink that cup. Okay, how many of y'all ever did a communion service? And the minister, whoever, bishop, whoever, get to this point and say, let a man examine himself. And then, you know, you get to thinking about, they were working on that lawnmower the other day. Mm-hmm. And you let the little word you should have said slip out. And that grandbaby said, what did you say, Papa? You know, and that guilt, that condemnation. But, you know, but anyway, you're examining yourself. You begin to look at yourself. And guilt, I mean, you ain't got to look. You know, all of us been saved a long, long time, haven't we? They still flesh in us. With anybody, I mean, there's an element of flesh there. And you get to examining yourself a whole lot, it don't take long to, you know, the devil put a little guilt and condemnation there, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do this. Let's examine himself. The Aleph at the top, Genesis 1:22, this God himself as a lamb. You know, he said there in the book of Revelation, there were priests and kings. And one job of the priest was to
examine
that lamb. Oh, check him out. You know, there Pilate.
No sparks, no lip.
Pilate checked him out three times. Pilate says, I don't. It's a boy perfect. There ain't no nothing wrong with him. But when we check this lamb out, examine this lamb, and what we're doing, we're taking the bread for it, right? Mm-hmm. The bread, and Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. You know, take, eat. If you don't eat the bread, you have no part in me, you know.
Yep.
But, you know, it's all about, and we'll go back to what he said, remember what I've done for you.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back in line. He just said, remember what I've done for you.
Uh-huh.
So let's read on. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
The Lord's body.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have a double right here. We have condemnation and, there's a double. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, check this out. For if we would judge ourselves, he's using a different word now. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Okay. Yeah. A king, judgment. A king makes judgment, don't he? A king makes righteous decrees. He just told us we're his kings and priests. So when we partake of the blood, what are we judged by? We're judged by the blood. His blood has made us kings and priests. Okay. Put this kind of in clarity. Let's turn to Isaiah 61st chapter of Isaiah. You know, the pastor, he's been talking about the double here lately.
Oh, yeah.
Well, friend, we got the double. We just don't realize it. Okay, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and open of the prison them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy of mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the plant of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Verse 7, for your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land shall they possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. So instead of shame, condemnation, no condemnation then right. That in Christ Jesus, you know. So instead of all this, we get the double. Let's see what the double is. Go down to verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation, which is the bread. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself, and as a bride adorneth herself with the jewels. And we know that righteousness comes from the blood. Bible tells us in the New Testament, you're made righteous by the blood. And both of them states, we have the gift of salvation and we have the gift of righteousness. So those are both gifts. You know, it wasn't McDonald's that come up with the Happy Meal. It was God himself in this meal. He's given us a gift. You know how them kids open that McDonald's sack, first thing they'll look at that toy out there.
That's the first thing.
You know, that's how we will do. We need to look at this gift so we'll get happy. You know, in Deuteronomy, the Lord says when you come and eat with him, you do it with rejoicing. You rejoice. And what the Bible say about Abraham? Abraham rejoiced to see that day. How many times have we taken this meal and we've looked at ourselves and condemnation, and then the next thing you know, we're saying, this is the day, look outside, it's gloomy, this is the day that the Lord has made, the Lord has made. Gloom, 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 despair, and agony on my. I mean, there's no victory. There's no joy, there's no rejoicing, because we don't go back and realize what he has done for us.
We don't see it. We don't discern it.
We don't see it.
Yeah. He said, discern the Lord's body. We don't take time to discern it, to see it.
Yeah.
You got to see it.
Paul
prayed in the first chapter of Ephesians that the eyes of their understanding of being light, that they'll see and know.
And on that road to Damascus, when he took and broke the bread and eaten and had communion with him, well, their eyes was open to himself. If you read it, the eyes was open to himself.
And they were just rejoicing over it.
Lord Jesus.
So we take it wrong.
But
Father, we just thank you, Lord, that our eyes have been open to you. As we take these communion, as we take it.
But from now on, let us all, and we do it here, let's do this with rejoicing in what he has done. But, you know, sometimes I've just been
in communion. Let me get another one.
Yes, ma'am. Communion services where it just seems to go flat when you start looking at yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you ever done, I've been guilty of that. You know, just think, man, what did I do?
But that's the way they teach it. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't teach it that way. Y'all know I teach it a whole different way. But they teach it. Yeah, you die if you eat this, and you and you and many people are afraid to even take communion.
And it goes all boils down to believing. You know, the world is condemned. We was talking about condemnation here. The world's condemned. Why? Because they don't believe. This is all about believing in what he's doing for
faith.
Us.
Take it in faith.
Faith. An heir of salvation. A joint heir of salvation. And you know the Lord there, I got a couple more minutes. You know, in Matthew there, the Lord said, our disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, well, Father, which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, salvation. Mm-hmm. And forgive us our debts. The blood. You know, the blood, forgive. That's what the blood speaks, forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Salvation, righteousness is ours. It's the double. Instead of the double shame and confusion, we got salvation and righteousness. Mm-hmm. All because of what we did? No, because of what he did on that mountain. And one thing always shocked me about, you know, time again, remember when the boys took a hike up on the mountain and God, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And going back to Abraham, please do this.
Yeah.
Man, it all clicks, don't it? Yeah. It all clicks.
Amen.
Let's take the bread of life that was broken for us. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you
that you himself did that for our sins. Thank you, Lord. That is a great, great gift given us. We thank you for it. I never had a gift like that to where a man lay down his life and do that. And
yes, Lord.
And Lord, your blood, that speaks it all. That speaks it all. That speaks forgiveness. Lord, we're taking your blood.
Yes.
And Lord, if we have got all against anybody, we forgive them too.
Yeah.
Thank you for the blood. Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Well, come on, brother.
David, that was
beautiful.
Jesus.
Oh, I love it.
You know, like I remind y'all sometimes, I don't know if y'all remember the communion revival that broke out.
I may be saying something about that.
Mm-hmm. But God is going to do it again. He's going to open people's eyes to communion. Because it's been so messed up from people teaching it or just handling it like it's nothing. You know, don't let me take your time, Apostle.
You're good. You know, this has been a wonderful month. May and June, I learned so much from the Lord this month. God is moving. He's moving by his spirit. The enemy, people say the devil's busy, not compared to God. You know, God, his love, it never stops. It's always in motion. I like what David said about looking to Jesus. When we see him and what he did for us,
mm-hmm.
we gain his abilities. Whatever he did, we can do in this world. Mm-hmm. And if I have any kind of weakness, any kind of or strength, I look to the Lord. The best victories that I ever had, I didn't trust my strength. I told Alicia this morning, I said, the things, when you stop the works of darkness, I don't lift a finger. I don't lift 10 pounds. I speak words of faith. I'm looking at the blood. I'm looking at the body. I'm looking at Jesus. I'm looking at what he did for us. And the Lord told Adam to subdue. And I noticed that everything God does, he does it in a way where it cannot be corrupted. nothing impure can come from the Lord. And nothing impure can proceed from him. Everything that comes from him is pure. All of his words is, let's look at James again. James 3. Everything that comes from God is good. And nothing can proceed from him that's evil. It says, here it is. But the verse 17, but the wisdom of, that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So everything that proceeds from God, the reason it's said above is because that's God is the head.
Amen.
He's the head. And the angels look to him. Heaven looks to him. And they share his likeness. We look to Jesus and we share his likeness. So everything that comes from God is first is pure. So the Lord said everything. I told Alicia, I said, no matter what you go through, when you learn from the Lord, you're going to find out once everything is done, you know, you have the full victory and it's manifested. You're going to see how easy it really is. Because God is, he's covenant. He's pure. Everything he does is pure. Everything that the enemy is trying to get us to believe, the distraction. The enemy sent seducing spirits and doctrines of devils to hinder us. Now, God told Abraham, I don't want to mess it up. Let me go back to Genesis 12. I saw this last month. God was not just talking to Abraham. He was giving us a clue. In verse 1, he said, the Lord said, now the Lord has said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Okay, he said, get thee out of thy country. That's a persuasion. Mm-hmm. And from thy kindred, mm-hmm. that's another persuasion. And from thy father's house. Mm-hmm. Now, these were good people. Because when Abraham wanted to find a wife for Isaac, he sent him back to his kindred. Mm-hmm. But their persuasions was not good enough for God's standards. He's shown us, we have to receive what God is saying and reject every worldly influence. Mm-hmm. Because it'll easily beset us. Paul put it this way, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. And I noticed that the greatest men and women of God that God raised up, he went around the church to get them. Jesse Duplantis, he went around the church and got him. And got him. Now he was trained right. Kenneth Copeland. Now first Oral Roberts. He got sick and his brother took him to a tent revival. And he wanted that. He believed in healing. He wanted to do that. He wasn't raised in the church. Kenneth Copeland was trained by Oral Roberts. God went around the church again. I've been watching, he said, Gloria Copeland, the way she got saved, she said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. Steve Quayle, the Lord, I listened to his ministry. The Lord took him around the church. I think it was Hal Lindsey was preaching. And he pointed to him and said, God loves you. And he got saved, received Jesus. Jesus showed him a vision of the end time. So he teach a lot of things that's happening and forming and warning people as a watchman. And he's a little rough around the edges, but I see the work of God in him. Why did God keep going around the church to get these people? The greatest leaders of our day, the Lord. Kenneth Hagin, he went to the Baptist church. But before he got healed, he went to hell 3 times. He said, I go to church. I was baptized. He heard his voice echoing. Why did God, see, The Lord, he has to do things as pure. He can't use the negative, anybody's negative. He has to use, he has to build on a pure foundation. So I kept noticing how they didn't go through the ranks of the church. They went around the church. Then I see scriptures like what Peter said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the wicked and the sinner appear? Mm-hmm. Why would that be there if it wasn't necessary? Then the Lord said, many have given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.